Hi guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast, the show dedicated to transforming your life. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Helen, and we're excited to bring you the best information on exercise, nutrition, mindset, and health. Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome to the Challenge Podcast. In this episode, we're continuing the Meet the Challenger series, and today I've got with me Peter Jones. Peter, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Steve. Happy to be here.
Thank you so much for donating your time to being part of the Challenge Podcast. I feel like I am chatting with you so often in the Facebook group. I never actually get to chat with you or hear your voice even, but thank you for spending some time to chat with me today. Now, I just wanted to start by giving you a chance to introduce yourself. So maybe if you want to tell us, you know, where you're from and what a normal day looks like for Peter.
Okay, Peter Jones. I live in Mandurah, so south of Perth. My normal day for me is I usually get out of bed about 4:15 in the morning, jump on the exercise bike for 30 to 45 minutes just to get freshened up, make the day start, jump off that, get going, get breakfast in, shower, change and jump in the car, drive to work for 45 minutes. I've got to work in a small country town, Waroona. So I sit and work for a contracting business and I do majority of the purchasing for them. So I'm a desk jockey. So I sit here for 10 hours a day, 5 days a week. And then after work, I sort of bounce home, get a shower, change, bit of meal prep going on, then shoot off to the gym for between an hour and a half to 2 hours most nights. So they usually find me in the gym 6 nights a week. And other than that, pretty much just chilling out.
Is there big days, mate? So you're saying that you train in the morning and in the evening?
Yeah, I do cardio or fasted cardio in the morning and weights in the evening. Like, I've been in mining for 17 plus years, so I'm used to long days and long times. So a 12 to 14 hour day is nothing unusual for me.
Jeez, so you've been mining for 17 years out in Western Australia.
Now, yeah, that's like, I've worked in mines throughout Western Australia and overseas.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, you've done quite a few challenges now. How many challenges have you done?
This was number 9 I've just completed.
Number 9, challenge number 9, wow. Tell me, way back, you know, to that very first challenge, why did you first start the very first challenge? You know, would have been way back in, what, 2017, maybe 2016?
Probably around 2016. I started because one of my co-workers on one of the mine sites I was working at, her husband did the challenge, and he was one of the first equal third-place people that made the challenge, Nathan Patelio. So, like, I'd been training in the gym, nothing consistent, diet had never been right, so they showed me what he achieved through the challenge. So I thought, that looks like a good idea. It's got all the stuff you need. It's got diet plans involved, your workout plans involved, and it just gave me the motivation to jump on board. One, because I was fairly inactive doing a desk job. I was carrying way too much weight for myself, and like, I've got a severe back injury and that wasn't helping it. So I took the risk, jumped on board and started the challenge, which I lost a fair bit of weight, got my mobility back and got some of the pain away.
Amazing. Well, then what made you keep coming back? Was it the structure or was it the community? Or was it the programs? Like, was it about the challenge that brought you back for number 2, number 3, all the way to number 9?
For me, it was all about the structure. Then once you got into the structure, you go into the diet plan and the community, all the other fellow challengers are all in the same boat as you. No one was better, no one was worse. We're all equal. We're all trying to do something better with our lives. We're trying to get fitter and healthier. And just helping each other out is the best part of it. That, you know, people just come along, they give you a bit of a tip, they give you a bit of a tweak here and there. And I slowly watched the challenge progress from what it was to where it is today. And this, the challenge has gone in leaps and bounds forwards. Because when you read a lot of information, the challenge has always been consistency with the diet. They keep up with the times, but they don't get too overboard. So it's one of those great things to add into the system. And I just love the community that we have here. That you can just jump on board. You know, like, it's 3,500 people on the challenge page. And it doesn't matter what walk of life they come from, we're all equal.
Amazing. I see that you've made a few buddies from around Australia and you guys are tagging each other in different posts. What's it like meeting, you know, strangers online and talking about fitness and health things, or even sharing photos of yourselves in your underwear on the Facebook group? What has that experience been like?
It's been great because everybody's just like, there's no animosity. No one sort of has a go, has a crack at what you're wearing, how you're doing it. You know, me and Chris had a good banter this time around because, like, he's a challenger like myself. And then also we just drag other people into it. Like, we had Mark fly from the East Coast in the last challenge. And we did the boot camps as a fit family on another chat group that we are, which we all met up in WA. We all went out for dinner, had coffee, stayed at other people's places. So it just sort of developed and developed and developed. And you get friendship from around the countryside. Like, I've got a few challenges that contact me directly through Messenger, just ask me for a few pointers in the way to go. Some of the new guys are reaching out and touching me, like how to do this or what products do they need to start the challenge with and that sort of stuff. So it's just one of those tools that makes you more advantage to give you a better end in the challenge.
Mm.
It was great. Just such a community feel. Like, so walking down the shops, you might actually bump into someone that you know from the challenge. We walk into the gym, you see someone, like, oh, you're on the challenge page. You introduce yourself to them, then they realise who you are.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Mate, I want to talk about your experience again with the challenges over your challenge career, I guess. Have you had any big, major, you know, standout challenge that you had to overcome?
Throughout the challenge times, like, I've been fairly active and my body's not in the best condition because I've had a very hard sporting career. I used to play A-grade rugby when I was from the age of 10 through to 21 when I was forced to retire through sport through a back injury. So just getting momentum going and movement going from them was a bit of a risk, but at the end of the day, I've got there, I can now bench press, I can now deadlift, I can squat. It's just about building up that. One challenge, just before the challenge, I tore my longest adductor playing soccer with the kids. So that meant I had to rule out legs for 12 weeks. And then this challenge round, I've torn my shoulder apart just before the challenge started. So it's like, do I do the challenge? Do I not do the challenge? And I thought to myself, well, no, I've still got one arm, I've still got legs that work. I'll just work around the injury. And this challenge, since I was limited in what I could do, I focused on the diet, I focused on the exercises that I had to do, did them differently, and I actually got a better result than I did last time because I was pushing myself to extreme last challenge where I was fatiguing really quickly. This time I took a bit more of a laid-back approach, just focused on the things I could do, and I went quite well.
Great. Talking about some of the injuries that you've sustained over your life, you know, you mentioned lower back pain, you mentioned adductor tears, you mentioned shoulder injuries. Other than, you know, working around the injury, how has those injuries affected you, like mentally, physically? Like, how did you find the motivation to keep going even though your body was telling you no?
Well, the latest one, I've had my shoulder. When I first did that, I was devastated because I thought, what have I done? What does this mean? And how long can I be out for training? You know, I was sort of walked around the house, bummed out for about 2 weeks going, this is not good, I can't do anything about it. It's brought tension into my life. I thought, well, no, I've got to stop this. I've got to think, it's only an injury. What can I do to train around it? So I just sat back, researched a bit, and thought, no, I'm fairly well fit now. If I wasn't fit, I wouldn't be able to train. But with an injury and being fit, you can always work around it. So I just came up with an idea. Okay, I went to a physio, I had ongoing physio to make sure I wasn't doing more damage, make sure I was going in the right direction. Physio told me to just keep on training and increase my weight slowly, which I followed all the instructions, just carried on. So, like, now I don't bench big numbers, I don't squat big numbers, I don't deadlift big numbers because you don't need to. You can do everything without the big numbers, just depends on how you train your body.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that's how I normally tell the difference between, like, a beginner, intermediate and advanced trainer, as in a person. You know, I feel like a lot of advanced people who are advanced lifters would utilize a lot of lighter loads and lighter weights to challenge their body in different ways. And sometimes we get carried away with how much is on the bar, you know, how much can I squat, how much I can deadlift. But sometimes you might be better off going back just a little bit, one or two steps, lighten the load slightly, think about what you're doing, and then get a very different result and impact on your body. And, you know, then you know that you've gone from an intermediate to advanced, in my eyes, I'd say.
Yeah, like, I realised, like, I can go out and bench 140 kilos and go squat 210 kilos. Like, I watch the guys do it now and think, oh, if I do that now, I'll probably hurt. And now I go, no, the max I want to go is I only want to bench 80 kilos, but I might do 5 sets for 10 reps. Mm-hmm. Just change it up where I focus more on form, more on speed, slow the tempo down so I'm working the muscles longer, mm-hmm. and slightly harder but probably lower weight. So I just had to think about how to do things differently to suit my body type.
Smart. Now, we've talked a bit about the challenges that you faced. Do you have any big wins that you've had over your whole challenge career?
Not really, because I approach the challenge at a new focus, new stage or a new focus every time, just seeing I'll just go into this one, I'll learn how to control my diet a bit better. The last one I tweaked slightly to try and up my food level to try and increase a bit of size. The one before that I dropped back. But I sort of stayed consistent along the way. But with this one, I sort of dropped my food back to what the diet was saying and just added a bit more calories during the day because of my long duration of work and just maintained and just worked out what I could do. And other than that, it was just cruise along. And like the big win for me is for this challenge was getting contacted by unknown people that I didn't know asking for some assistance in how to get their training on track.
Amazing. Did you take on any mentors in the Facebook group?
Not through the Facebook group. Like I've got three challengers contact me privately through Messenger, just asking for questions and that sort of stuff. So even though I was listed as a mentor, I let them just come to me and ask them one of the questions and just give them the answers that I thought was best from my ongoing training, basically, and from my challenge experiences.
Amazing. Now, talking about, you know, your own training, I know that you have shoulder surgery planned. You know, do you have any big long-term fitness goals or health goals?
Once I go through the surgery next month, I have to take a duration of time off training because I've already been told that I'm no longer allowed to train upper body for 5 months. But when I work with the physio, he says, we'll get you back into training mode, but you just have to refigure how you do it because your shoulder won't be what it was before you started. So now I'll sit back and think, well, I'm going to have to dial my diet in further because at my current intake, I'll gain weight, which I don't want to do because I'm going to lose muscle mass, so I won't be burning food as much. So I'll be reducing the calorie intake, focusing on that. And like in 8 weeks' time, when I'm out of a sling and I can actually move around, I'll start retraining the legs and focus on my weak points in my body. Because my legs are a bit like JD's, they're not the biggest, and we're one of those guys who find it very difficult to grow legs. So I'm going to task them growing those things, but I don't want calves that are tiny.
No, you can't have the baby cows, no.
No. So, yeah, I just have to refocus for the duration that I'm out of action with my upper body.
Now, I recently saw that you are going to become a PT. Is that right?
Yes. I've started my PT training online. One, because I've always wanted to do something different. And with the challenge, it's enabled me to take some of the stuff I've learned and study it, get a certificate out of it, and then go on and chase a market that not many other people want to chase. Like where I'm in Mandurah, we have a lot of senior citizens. And like my mum, she's got shoulder injuries and back injuries. So I want to get back and start giving back to them and taking them out and trying to get them physically active so they can enjoy life for longer. You know, go play lawn bowls and not be in so much pain. Go walking down the shops and being able to do it without being out of breath.
I love that. I love that so much. I'm going to give you a chance to have a little cheeky plug-in if you'd like. Do you have a name for your future PT business?
Yes, like I've always carried a nickname for quite a while now. So most people know me on the Instagram page as Manky Monkey. So now I've registered a business called Manky Monkey Fitness. Manky Monkey Fitness. So that means I'll sort of target a different people, basically. Some with a bit of humour, so they don't take training so seriously.
Yeah.
And then one of our other challenges that I know has also offered to do my graphic design for my logo for me as well. And there's other guys that I know that wants to get my experience on board as well. So it's one of those things, like I've chatted to Diane. Once I get up and running and a certificate under my belt, I'll become on board with Max's as one of the PTs over in WA since we're very limited over here.
Yeah, I support that. As long as you don't take my job.
No, there's no worries there, mate. I'll be too far away because Melbourne's too far to travel.
Oh, mate, that's beautiful. Well, I'm excited for you to become a PT. I think my big message that I want to send as a PT is to encourage, you know, good movement and good behaviors with food and just overall promoting good fitness and health. And that doesn't always mean, you know, how much can you squat, how much can you deadlift, you know, how good your abs look. I want to help the people, same as it sounds like you want to help. You know, I want to help the mums to carry their kids. I want to help the oldies play lawn bowls. I want to help, you know, that guy who wants to go rock climbing. Like, they're the people I really want to help. And it's nice that that message is echoed with other
people. That's right. We've got to try and keep everybody active. And like flexibility is one of my biggest issues. And I know as you get older, you get less flexible. So that's what I want to focus on. Just trying to keep people moving in the right direction.
I love it. Now, just in general, do you have any advice for people who might be listening to this podcast who are maybe doing the challenge or are thinking about the challenge or, you know, maybe they're just into general fitness and health? Do you have any general advice you'd give people?
For someone starting out in the challenge, you know, just look at the program, study the program, and plan your weeks as they come. So meal prep on a Sunday or a Saturday, and focus on what you're going to achieve for that week. Don't do the long-term goals. Everything's laid out for you. So you know you've got a 12-week window. Never compare yourself to anybody else. Go to the gym. And if you're not the same body type or the same body style as anybody else in the gym, walk up, find the biggest bloke, push in the biggest weight, introduce yourself to him. Say, hey, I've just started out, can you give me a hand? That person will turn around and give you a hand. So they're all there for the same reason. You know, if you have, this is your second or third challenge, you keep on coming back because why? You love it. Just focus on what you're doing. You know, look in the mirror, take a photo and say, okay, I'm just going to do better than what I did last week. I made a mistake in my food. Don't worry about it. Don't stress. Move on. You know, this challenge is an amazing thing. It's changed so many people and so many lives and brought so much more. If you look back, since I've done it for so many challenges, the amount of females that go out and they've always been trying to have children, all of a sudden do a challenge, they get the better lifestyle, their husband kicks in and they suddenly fall pregnant. Why? Because the challenge has brought them back to where they need to be. Like one of the fit mamas, Chelsea, one of our ambassadors, look where she is now. She's got a beautiful young one-year-old daughter. It's fantastic to see. And you've seen a few of those come along.
It's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah, so the health benefits of doing the challenge is greater than what we first think. Once we do it a few times, your health just gets better and better and you're always improving on your food. So you're making better choices.
So you're saying too, when you improve your fitness, you improve your health, and then once you improve your health, you improve your overall life in general.
Yeah. Your whole overall attitude changes. Like the mental side of it comes in as well. So that means, you know, you're feeling better about yourself. You look in your mirror, you're happy about yourself. You go shopping. Instead of going, oh, I've only got so many shops I can go to, I can go to the broader range of shops. I feel good. It doesn't matter whether you're a size 6 or a size 20 or like me. I change between an XL and a triple XL. You know, it doesn't worry me. As long as I feel good about myself and the way I look, I'm happy. And that's what the challenge does. It makes you more confident about the way you are.
Confident. Yeah. I love that. Like you see some photos on the Facebook group and there's this common trend that you would probably see within the challenge, you know, week one, week two, everyone starts posting photos of their food, right? So they post photos of their food and their meal prep. And then we get to week maybe 6 or 7 and people start posting photos or videos of themselves exercising. And then once we get closer to the end of the challenge, like week 12, once a lot of us have lost a lot of body fat, that's when we get more, you know, shirt off photos and bikini photos and people who are confident and happy to post photos of themselves online. And it's a nice thing to see this change from week 1 to 6 to 12. And I'm sure you've probably seen a lot more than I have, right?
Yeah, you know, you're seeing it slightly gradual. Like week 1 to 4, everybody's sort of going, are my meals right? Are my meals right? Have I got my portions right? And the questions pop up, is it cooked rice or uncooked rice? And then week 5 to 9 or 5 to 8, you see, yeah, the guys are starting to post a few photos and working out a bit. You see the girls getting a bit more involved into the Flex Fridays. And then towards the last phase, I think everybody's into Flex Fridays. Everybody's showing what they're working out. You see photos of guys fighting these big bars with lots of weight on the end of it. You take and see a photo of a smaller female posting a photo of a 12-kilo dumbbell. You know, we all start somewhere pushing a 12-kilo dumbbell. A really good effort for a lot of people. Mm. And then you see someone like me, 1 week I'm wearing a red shirt, and then towards the end of the challenge I'm in a tutu and a pink singlet. You know,
I love that
song. I'm there for a good time. Like most of the guys I get to the gym with, we have the gym I train, we've got a small boy side and a big boy side.
Mm.
So it's the way the team's set up. So it's a bit hairy to go on when you first there. But me running around in a tutu and a singlet on a Friday night with about 15 other guys in the gym, seriously pumping weights, I walk around in a tutu. Mm-hmm. I got some strange comments, but they all laughed. They knew what it was for.
I love that. I think it brings it back to, you know, what you mentioned with your PT business. It's kind of taking away the seriousness of training. And sometimes we get carried away and we start thinking about complex ideas and complex cycles. Oh, I'm doing a micro cycle on a bench press in an overloading state. And we complicate a lot of things. And I think once we start complicating things, that's when we lose maybe interest. We put our training up on a plateau that it's almost like it's too much work. And being able to break it down like you have and have a bit of fun with it is what keeps training exciting and keeps training, you know, interesting, and it keeps you going. And I want to thank you for being that person, you know, within our community that, you know, sees the fun side of it and sees the humbling side of it and says, hey, you know, we're here to have fun. It's not all seriousness. It's not always, you know, making things complicated. So I want to say thank you, Peter. It's been really great.
No worries. It's more than just pumping weights. It's about enjoying what you do. Because once we stop enjoying it, it becomes a chore. And when we start having a chore, we don't do it. We don't want to take rubbish out every day, so why have a chore? So if you go to the gym, have a bit of a laugh. Walk up to the guy or girl next to you. Say hello, introduce yourself, and get to know other people, because one day you will need someone to spot you, and they're the people who spot you.
Yeah.
So it also makes them give you knowledge of what they've done. Might share diet tips, might share training tips. They might tell you there's a really good clothing special on this week and that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I always thought, you know, I've always taken my training very, very seriously for the first level challenges. I just turned and said, no, I can't do this more. I'm starting to not enjoy it, so I had to put something interesting back in my life to get the gym. And unfortunately, my poor old wife's the one who had to take most of the photos and videos, so she enjoyed it just as much as what I did.
I love that. Just on that note, when you're talking about gyms, if you are listening to this now, I would recommend chatting with the gym staff. So say hi to, you know, if there's someone sitting at the reception, if there's PTs walking around, if there are, you know, cleaners, if there are group fitness instructors, say hi. You know, they do become really friendly with you and they have lots of advice. And even me, as the coach of the challenge, I still pick up things and learn things. So be friendly to people in the gym because, you know, if you are in a positive environment, you're more likely to go. And if you're more likely to go, then it becomes part of your lifestyle and then you can really get that transformation that you're after.
That's it. Yeah, I know the owner of the gym that I go to. We speak on a regular basis. I talk to all the receptionists when I come in. Mm. I talk to the PTs because that's the way you communicate. Mm. And they're all willing to give you time. Always 5 minutes of their time is worth more to them than anything else.
Look, Peter, we're going to wrap it up there. I just want to take a moment to say thank you for donating some of your time and giving us all your words of wisdom from a challenge veteran. And we're just going to wrap it up there. Now, if you are listening to this and you're not part of the Facebook group, head on over to the Max and Maxine official support group and you can go see some videos and photos of Peter in a tutu and lifting a lot heavier weights than I do. And yeah, once again, Peter, thank you so much for your time and I will see you online sometime.
No worries. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.